Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
All right. Yes. Welcome back to another exciting round of Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O here with you, and joining me to my right, Pastor Nate Heitzig. Hey, buddy.
What's up, compadre?
Oh, you know, doing a show.
A show about a show.
About a show. So, Shock Therapy Live, for those of you just joining us for the first time, is our one-hour call-in show centered around you. We take questions, we take concerns, we take comments, we take whatever, and we hang out. We discuss it, what the Bible has to say about certain things. There's pretty much...
We care about you.
There's no arena that has not been discussed here, in my opinion, but if there is something, we are unshockable. I promise that. We want to hang out, we want to get down and talk about what the Bible has to say about... Yeah. And anything and everything. It's kind of like the real life web. I've been working on this message right now, and it's kind of, I called it Christian hypochondria, because sometimes, sadly, we tend to have that. And then we go to WebMD, like when we, oh, dude, my throat's scratching. I'm going to go to WebMD, and there's like 8,000 things that are wrong with you, apparently, because of WebMD. And yet when it comes to biblical truths, we don't accept those. We don't take them. We are feeling down. We are feeling depressed. We are struggling in an area of our life. And yet, we usually tend to go to the world. We tend to go somewhere else other than our quote unquote WebMD, which is scripture that has an answer for anything and everything under the sun. That's what we want to do. We want to hang out.
Yeah.
We want to rap.
Christian, I have Christian athlete's foot.
Do you?
Yeah.
What's that?
Just athlete's foot for that. If you're a Christian and you have athlete's foot, it's Christian athlete's foot.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not the same thing.
Or what about Christian diarrhea?
Yeah, you can have that of the mouth.
Yeah. Where people are like, that, no, this is when people pray. People are praying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they don't know what to pray anymore, but they don't want to, like, give up the platform of prayer in case something really inspirational comes.
Right.
So their response is to say, and Lord, God, we just, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Yeah. Lord God.
Yeah.
They might even throw a Jesus in there.
You know, a long time ago, Pastor Bob Coy was giving a message about prayer, and he was talking about that very thing, and it's somehow, it like distracts me now, because I pay attention to that, and it's like if you and I were having a conversation, and I was like, and Nate, you know, Nate, here we are, Nate, for Shock Therapy Live, Nate, and Nate, I just, Nate, I'm like, dude!
Yeah.
Sorry. 505-338-3700, the phone number. We're not here to talk about us. We're here to talk about you.
Yeah, we care about you guys.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily care what you think, but we care about you.
Static. Hello.
Hey, Steve-O and Nate.
Hello.
What's
up? I'm sure in, you know, the news you guys have been hearing all about the gun talk.
Yes.
If guns were made completely illegal, you know, I was reading in the Paul letter, you know, follow the law of the land, would you turn in your gun voluntarily? I don't even know if you guys have guns, but
if guns were made completely illegal altogether, would we turn in our guns? Is that that's the question basically? Is this something where like, hey, you have guns and you don't necessarily want to relinquish them type thing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, hey, I gotta drive. So,
yeah. Okay. We will answer.
I'll just listen to what you guys say.
All right. Thanks for the call. You know, what's funny is, was it yesterday on your Instagram?
Yeah.
Was that yesterday?
Yeah.
Your wife?
Oh, that was so much fun.
Throwing down on the, what was that, an AR?
AR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was my Christmas present.
Nice.
I don't like that question. Because I love.
Because speaking biblically, we're talking about laws of the land.
Yeah, you know, you gotta submit to the authority that's over you.
Unless it compromises your...
So if they outlawed Bibles, you wouldn't have to turn in your Bible.
Right.
But unfortunately, guns might be in our constitution as Americans, but it's not in our rights as a Bible. So,
right. As a Christian, like, hey...
If it said we have the right to bear arms in, you know, second Malachi 5-3 or something, right, then we could carry guns and we'd not turn them in if the government told us to. But unfortunately, it doesn't. So
we do have to adhere to that governing authority over us.
Yeah. As much as I hate to say it, if Obama says we got to turn in our guns, biblically, we're supposed to.
Well, we got this question before in a different way, and we answered it differently because it wasn't so near to home for you and I. And it was a question about smoking weed, about marijuana. And it was like, dude, but you don't, but it's herbal and da 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 da. And it's like, the law says it's illegal right now.
In 50 certain states.
Yeah, in some states. It's still illegal. And because of that, you could get into a whole other conversation about, you know, because it inhibits your ability to function. We had a different answer because both of us do own weaponry. We both have weapons. And that would be difficult if the government came down and said, no more weapons, period. You're not allowed to have guns whatsoever. You have to turn them all in.
Mm-hmm.
We would have to submit to that governing authority. Because that's what we're called to do.
Yeah, I think of right now we're going through the series here at Calvary through the book of Daniel.
Yeah.
And Daniel submitted to everything that the authorities told him to do up until the point when they told him that he couldn't worship the Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
So, I think we need to take a lesson from that, and we need to submit to the governing authorities all the way up until the point where it causes us to supersede God's law.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that includes firearms or weapons. You know, if they said we had to turn in knives, it'd be the same way. If they said we had to turn in couches for some reason, you know, we have to submit to that.
We'd have to submit to couches?
I know. I know. It's such a bummer.
All right. I guess I can do that.
So, you know, it's a difficult question, especially being the place that we're in right now. And unfortunately, a majority of gun owners are, I guess you could say, Republican Bible believing.
It's getting nasty though. I was reading an article yesterday, this poor dude, and I don't know the whole story. Did you hear the story about this gentleman who, during Sandy Hook, he was in his kitchen, he looks out the window, and there's a circle of little kids out like in front of his driveway. Dude goes out there, and they were kids whose teacher was shot and killed at Sandy Hook. And they got away, they're standing out front, this dude takes them in, hangs out with them, tries to find their parents, and he is getting blasted right now, getting death threats, he's getting hate mail, and all this stuff, and I'm like, what? So then I start reading, and there's like, you know, gun control conspiracy theorists who say it was staged, that the government set this whole thing up. About Sandy Hook.
Why is this guy, though, getting hate mail?
Because they believe that he is a puppet that they are using for gun control. To say, but the children, and these children were... And I'm reading the story thinking like, wow, dude, what a great guy.
Hero. This guy is... He doesn't like guns?
He's kind of not become the spokesperson, but he's been in the news a lot lately talking about the children and safety. And this is what, you know, guns. And he's kind of become not an advocate necessarily.
If I'm going to be honest, I have guns because of my children.
Okay.
And here's the reason why. I had a break-in in my house where I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning and there was a fully nude Native American guy standing in my bedroom.
True story!
Above my bed, completely
it's
naked.
It's hilarious to me now, but not so much.
No, so here's the thing. That guy didn't have a weapon, but he was still a threat.
Right.
And if he would have attacked my kids, or if he would have attacked my wife and tried to sexually assault my children or my wife, or something of that sort. Let me just say this. People say, man, if you take someone's life, you're going to live with that guilt for the rest of your life. And I believe that. But I'd rather live with the guilt the rest of my life taking a bad person's life than having that bad person take my kids or my wife's life.
So you're an advocate.
I don't want to live with the concept that, man, I could save my kids or I could save my wife and I didn't get that opportunity. Actually, after that attack, the police said, you need to get a firearm in your house. They told me that directly. They said, you need to have a firearm in your house to protect yourself.
And you did.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that I have a gun because of my kids. And growing up, my dad was very conscientious about teaching me gun safety, about teaching me the right and the wrong things that you do with a gun. And I really believe that, it's the people that are handling it more than the actual weapon. You know, again, we talk about a big thing in the news right now is alcohol, And this concept that a lot more people die each year from drunk driving than they do from firearm-related injuries. Yeah. A lot more people.
Yeah, it's becoming a big topic right now. Obviously, it's a hot topic. I get a list every week emailed to me like, hey, hot topics for radio.
Yeah.
And that's consistently been in the top five for the last, I don't even know how many weeks.
Well,
gun control.
The New York laws that just passed for gun control, I mean, are extremely strict, and our country is heading that direction as well.
Yeah.
And so it's a very scary reality.
Great question, though, this morning.
Yeah.
So 505-338-3700. Is the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig joining you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, are you guys talking about gun control?
We got a question on it.
Yeah, we're brushing past it.
Yeah.
I was just listening. Was it you that were saying that, rules will end that if Obama passes a gun ban, it's our duty to give them up?
Yeah, we were talking about, from a biblical perspective, we had a gentleman call at the top of the hour asking, hey, okay, as a Christian, if the government outlawed weapons altogether and said, you have to turn in all of your weapons, would we as Christians have to obey that, was the question.
Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a gun dealer. I'm real active in the gun community. I've been shooting for years.
Awesome.
And the thing with that is that's not necessarily true, because even as Christians, the Obama administration, Obama himself, is bound by the Constitution. He has no constitutional right or authority over the Constitution. So what he is doing, if he says, we have to confiscate guns, is anti-constitutional.
But
so the Constitution was written by our founding fathers from a Christian perspective. The Constitution trumps even the president's authority. So the president has no authority to do that.
He's still our commander in chief. So if he passes a law that says, "Hey, this is now a law,"
yeah, but we're not talking just about Obama. We're saying if a law gets passed down, that it goes through Congress,
The United States of America was founded on Christian beliefs, on Christian constitution. We're a constitutional republic. We're not a democratic country. We're a constitutional republic, which means even the president is bound by the Constitution. He took an oath. Which he doesn't uphold.
But I want you to understand the flaw in the thinking there, and I'll use again the life of Daniel. When Daniel and the Israelites got taken captive by the Babylonians,
right?
Daniel was very conscientious about submitting to the authority of the king. He didn't say, "Well, we're not a Babylonian society. We're founded on a theocracy, upon what God said and upon His laws that have handed down to us. So we're not going to listen to you because we're not technically under your authority." No, he still submitted to the king's authority and to the Babylonian rule up until the point that it caused him to break God's rule. And right. So we, even more than a constitutional society, even more than a democracy, even more than that, we truly are a theocratic society as Christians. And so because of that, we submit to the letter of what the Bible says to a T. And part of what the Bible says is that we're to submit to the authorities that are over us.
Yeah,
and
Romans 13.
And so whether or not those authorities are following the Constitution that was originally written, or whether or not they're following what we individually believe to be right or in line with our rights, it doesn't matter, because we're supposed to submit to them up until the point that that causes us to break God's rule. So if Obama or the Congress tells us that we have to turn in our Bibles and we can't read Bibles anymore, well, that's something where we go against that, because that goes against God's rule. Unfortunately, the right to bear arms is part of our Constitution, but not part of what the Bible says. And so because of that, we have to submit to what the Bible does say and submit to our authorities.
Thanks for the call, man.
Okay.
All right. 505-338-3700 is the phone number.
Now, I will just say this. Again, this is a soft topic for me, because with the guy that just called in, I love guns. I love firearms. I go to the range frequently. My wife and I avidly enjoy shooting firearms. And so it's a soft topic for me, because let me tell you something. My flesh, if that happened, does not want to turn in my guns.
You just got a great one for Christmas.
My flesh wants to die on that hill and say, no, I'm an American. I have the right. That's what my flesh wants to do. So, I'm with you there, that this is it's a scary thing, and it's a difficult thing to start talking about, but I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says on the topic, not necessarily what my view is on it. So.
There you go. All right, 505-338-3700, the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, I have a question. You guys have probably been getting some of these recently with some of the new developments in regards to marijuana and how people are viewing that now. So my question is this. I guess let me first qualify. I'm not a user myself. I'm actually against marijuana's use or the legalization of that. But I talked to several people who would argue that in regards to how marijuana affects people, it's not so different from alcohol. So myself, I'm not opposed to consuming alcohol. And so these people say that its effect is much the same. You know, it's not mentioned explicitly in the Bible. So they see no problem with it. So I understand that there's a legal argument there to say, well, you know, it's against the law to possess or use that. But certainly that's subject to change, it looks like, these days. So outside of a legal argument, how would you respond to somebody who says that they don't have any issue with using marijuana based on the fact that it's somewhat similar to alcohol prep?
Yeah, this is what I would say to that. People drink alcohol, and a lot of people don't drink it to get drunk. A lot of people drink it because they enjoy the taste of it, or because, you know, mainly that they enjoy the taste of it. People don't smoke marijuana because they love the taste of marijuana. People smoke a joint to get high. There's only one reason to smoke marijuana, and that's to get high. So you can drink a cup of alcohol. You can drink a glass of wine or have a beer and not get drunk, but you can't smoke a bowl and not get high. So that's the difference there, is that there's really only one purpose for marijuana. There's really only one reason to do drugs, and that is to get the mind-altering experience that it offers. So, yeah. So that's the primary difference between the two. Is that one, you know, can be taken in moderation. One really cannot.
And here's what I would say, biblically. Take them to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5:19 through 21 says this: the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not going to take you to the drunkenness part. I'm actually going to take you back to witchcraft, because that word in the original language was pharmakei. That's the word used for witchcraft in Galatians 5:19 through 21 in verse 20. Where it says witchcraft. That word pharmakei is where we get pharmaceuticals. And back then, witchcraft was this hallucinogenic or drug usage that had this enlightening, quote-unquote, experience. And that is what Scripture was talking about. So there are a lot of times where that use of the word witchcraft is actually specifically talking about pharmakei, which was drugs, something that would alter your state of mind, your state of being. And so if somebody would try to come to you and say, well, it doesn't talk about drug use, man, in the Bible, it very clearly does. And you can take them to that many places, because I've had this conversation many, many, many times, sadly. And that's usually where they come and say, you know, yeah, but you don't understand, bro. I've got arthritis and it helps my joints. And really, they just want to smoke some joints. So.
Now, with that, here's the we've talked about this before as well.
Yeah.
Talking about medical marijuana, I believe that if it is prescribed by a doctor for medical purposes, that it's a different subject.
Absolutely.
Because we're talking
used
about
used in the proper dosage.
Used in the proper dosage. You know, again, talk about Vicodin or Percocet or
just had a surgery where I had to take Percocet
or some of these other really severe pain medications that a lot of people take. For that same high reason, they take them out of prescription and they buy them illegally in order to get high. But used in the proper prescription, it can truly be used for medical purposes to take away pain. There are people with cancer who are prescribed marijuana because it helps them with their appetite. It helps them not feel so sad. It causes a more lucid feeling. It takes away the pain. And for these reasons, I believe that it can be a medical use drug for medical, true medical use purposes. Now, if that person who has been prescribed that drug decides, you know what, I don't care what the prescription says, I'm going to get high tonight, I'm going to smoke this bowl, I'm going to smoke the whole thing.
We're going to watch some Friday, we're going to hang out.
Then they're using that outside of the prescribed uses. So that would be my take on that subject.
Does that help you out?
Yes, it does. Thank you, guys.
All right,
you're
thanks,
welcome.
Man. 505-338-3700 is the phone number you're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Yeah, dude, I just had minor surgery. And I was prescribed Percocet, and I'd never taken a narcotic like that ever in my entire life.
Yeah.
And I'm glad my wife didn't film the first time. I had no idea the effects. and it was unreal to a point where the prescription was 1 to 2, and I was like, I gotta cut this in half because, dude.
And see, it's different for every single person. Wow. When I broke my leg, I had Percocet and Vicodin, and neither of them did a single thing to me.
Really?
It dulled the pain a little bit, but it didn't do, you know, it didn't alter my state of mind. It didn't make me feel anything of the sort.
Yeah.
So, that's a weird sound.
I know, I can hear that too. It's crazy, right?
I'm going to punch a board in the face.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live with Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig. Hello, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I was calling you guys whole gun control subject, and I'm 16. I shoot frequently, and I love it. But what I can see that a lot of other people can't, I don't know how people haven't figured this out, is it's not gun control that needs to happen. It's people control.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Lightsabers don't kill people. Evil Sith lords kill people. The
Jedi
use their lightsabers
that
for
needs
good.
To be a bumper sticker
I'm
or
sure
a t-shirt.
It is. I'm sure it is. I saw it last week, not on a bumper sticker anywhere, just somebody on Facebook said
that
I'm
is
like,
fantastic.
That's brilliant. I'm keeping it forever because it's true. Lightsabers didn't kill people. Evil Sith lords kill people. But it's true. You have an excellent point, and I think that's kind of the discussion in gun control. So, Thanks for the comment.
All right. Thank you. Right,
yeah, and you know, this is again, when it comes to gun control, look, I'm all for cracked down background checks. I honestly do believe it's crazy that in the state of New Mexico, you can go to an establishment and get a gun within 15 minutes. That seems very, very hasty to me.
Right.
You know, I'm all for a week waiting period or a 2 week waiting period while they do a background check.
Yeah.
They look at the family history. They look at, the history of violence. I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
And I think there needs to be a balance struck there. Do I believe that something in America needs to change? Yeah, I do. But I honestly believe that that's the condition of man, and that no matter what you do, if you outlaw guns, people are going to find violence in another way. And I believe this too. Outlawing guns isn't going to stop outlaws from getting guns.
Right.
You really think a criminal has someone who's planning to murder somebody has a hang up on getting an illegal firearm?
Right.
No. You know, they're going to get it whether it's illegal or not. So, you know.
You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzig joining me in studio this morning. Phone number is 505-338-3700 if you'd like to chime in. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
To switch back to the marijuana conversation, I myself have epilepsy, and I represent the indigent society without the form or the doctors to provide that prescription for us. So some of us, because of the healthcare system, are forced to go on the street and take the lower grade stuff that we have to get rid of the chronic pain. You know, there's a lot that goes on with epilepsy that a lot of people aren't aware of. I'm an active member of the Epilepsy Foundation, and there are doctors that do prescribe it for people like me. But again, the government makes it hard for us to do that. You know, some people without money don't have that access to go to a doctor and get that prescription. Like, for instance, when I lived in Colorado, I had it in Colorado, but then I moved to Texas, and Texas said, no way. You have to be this and that and the other, and they put restrictions on you. So I just represent that 3% of Americans that can't go to a doctor and say, hey, this is what I need, help me out, because I don't have the money to do that.
Hmm.
Yeah, so the street stuff is below quality, of course, but what other option do I have? I'm not over 60. I don't get Medicare. I'm not able to get pregnant, so I can't get women's health care. What other option do I have besides go pay $150 to a doctor to say, hey, this is what I need? And then I have to wait for the state to decide whether I need that or not for me when I already know I need it. You understand?
Wow.
The box you're put in.
Right. So what caused you the move, if I may ask? You know, you went from a place in Colorado where, hey, this is accessible and you're here. Was it a work move, or you guys just decided we're going to Tejas?
Actually, sir, I was unable to get my medication for the epilepsy, so I lost my right to drive, and I had to let my son go live with his father. It was a forced situation, not by the state. I chose to do it, but, you know, after having seizures and my driver's license taken because of the epilepsy, I had to move to Texas to be close to my son because that's where his father was. Mm. Yeah, it's quite a long journey.
You know, I believe that on this topic, you know, it can be done legally. And you bring up the point that, well, sometimes it takes a long time or it doesn't happen as quickly as it's supposed to. I feel like that's, honestly, a due process of the law. I think a lot of people, even people that have access to healthcare and have access to doctors, still have to wait a period of time at certain times to get their medication. You know, I even think about my wife. My wife takes prescription medications for some things. And there was times when the pharmacy needed updated information from a doctor or something, and she had to wait 3-4 weeks to get her medication. And I could have said, oh, man, well, you know, my wife needs this. It's all right. I'm just going to go wherever and get this medication. But I didn't. I had to wait for the due process. And so I believe that that's part of, our law, and it's part of the boundaries that are set up. And, you know, even talking about anything, we were talking about gun control before, if they, you know, make the qualifications for background checks more severe, someone can say, well, I need a gun. I'm going to go buy one on the black market. But the part of the due process is you wait, according to the laws and the standards that are in place. So, I think that there's things that can be done legally, and if you truly do need it for legal purposes, then biblically we should wait for those legal standards. And in the topic of Medicare, you know, one of the things, a big thing in the news right now as well, is Obamacare and is universal health care. So it could be that you'll have health care sooner than you realize as well. So, you know, I think that our job as citizens and our job as Christians is to submit to the authorities that are over us, to submit to the laws and to the standards that have been put over us, and trust that God is going to control and steer the rest for us.
You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Thank you so much for the call. Phone number is 505-338-3700. These are the tough situations that we talk about because, you know, as your dad going through this amazing series, I Dare You. There's some hard lines and there's some hard choices that we have to make sometimes. And I think, we would love to say, yeah, but I deserve this. And it doesn't even have to go into the law of the land. We talk about God's laws. God says, hey, dude, don't do this. Don't commit adultery. And then you in your idiot brain think, yeah, but I deserve this, and my spouse isn't treating me the way I deserve to be treated, and then you kind of build this thing up in your mind where you think, hey, I deserve this because this isn't happening correctly over here, so it's my spouse's fault, so I deserve to do this. But God doesn't say it because he's trying to be a buzzkill or a killjoy and say, no, don't commit adultery because even though it's fun, you just shouldn't do it. No, because anybody who's gone through this, anybody who has been in a relationship where there was unfaithfulness can absolutely speak into that and say, dude, it's one of the most damaging, devastating, difficult roads, and it's not necessarily something that anybody ever wants to go through. But you don't think about that at the time. All you're thinking is, but the man's putting me down, dude, and he says I can't do this. It's for our benefit because he loves us.
And this is the thing. This is the concept behind that. At no point do our feelings or our views supersede God's law.
Right.
And I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, that was written at different times. And you know what? You're right. It was written under Roman rule and under Roman law that was much more severe, much more restrictive, much more right infringing than American law is.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Jesus said, and the Bible says that we're supposed to submit to those authorities in that time period, in that time period that was doing horrible things, that was truly taking the rights of their people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about time differences. If you really want to go down that road, it was much more restrictive at that time. And so we need to submit to God's law and submit to the authorities that are over us.
505-338-3700 is the phone number, or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Hey, if you want to keep it anonymous, you can do so as well by sending us an email, studio@mystaticradio.com.
Ooh. We have Hello? 10 comments.
Wow. Oh, that's Kids' Rules. That's a different one. Static.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
Hi,
morning.
Hi, I have a comment and a question. I have a comment for the previous caller about the medical marijuana.
Okay.
Well, I have a cousin who is family member who is stage 4 cancer, and that does work for him.
Okay.
And has helped his appetite, so that's really wonderful. And, you know, disability would be an option for income and health care for this person, as well as for New Mexico, if you have a card, you can get a license to grow and be an authorized dealer and actually sell to people who have cards. That could also be a way to have her own and make a living.
This girl lives in Texas, sadly.
Oh, so I thought none she was of in New Mexico. Works.
No, she lives in Texas now.
I wasn't paying attention close
That's
enough.
Okay. But good.
Okay.
Good
well,
thought?
My other question was, I'm in nursing school, and we're talking about a topic that came up about euthanasia, which is in question here in New Mexico. Just on another thing coming up, you know, the assisted suicide.
Okay.
And as going into the healthcare profession, this is, you know, it's already a fine line when you're doing the dying with dignity and comfort care when people are on hospice. It's just like a slippery slope.
Yeah.
So what's the question?
Is the question, is euthanasia okay? Is that the question?
No, I don't think it's okay already, but, you know, when you're going through the classes, then, you know, they come up with some pretty, you know, different things, like if someone's brain dead or this or that. And now they're bringing up the question at, you know, like you had said before, Steve-O, about your child, and they said, oh, do you want this test? And it's like, no, I don't even want that test when your wife's pregnant.
Right.
I have 6 children. I never even had the test. I'm like, I don't even want the blood test.
Right,
you know,
right.
It doesn't matter to me.
You're speaking about...
I would never even consider it.
Like the Down syndrome test or the different
right.
tests to see if we wanted to keep the child. Yeah, those weren't... Yeah, exactly. Not even a thought about having those tests for that reason, so...
Yeah.
Right, I'm like, how dare you even ask me?
So but what's the question?
The question is that now it's come to my attention that in another country where there were twins that were connected at the conjoined twins, and they were deaf, and then they were going blind, and that was their only disability.
Okay.
And they decided to be euthanized because they decided their life wasn't worth living.
The parents decided to?
No, they were adults. They lived, like, they were in their 40s or something crazy like that. So where does the line get, I mean, how far does the line go?
I think the line gets drawn again by biblical standards. And the thing is, where in the Bible does it say that murder is wrong except for this? Murder is wrong unless you're killing yourself because you don't like your life, or unless you're in a lot of pain and so you don't want to live anymore. You know, that's not found in the Bible. And so I believe, again, we need to submit to the law of the land. We need to submit to the law of God in this standard. Again, God's law will always supersede man's law. So even if euthanasia becomes okay and they say, oh, well, that's legal now, I still believe that that is something that falls under God's law, and that we don't murder because the Bible says so. And so murdering ourselves is the same. Now, I would say this, though. There's a difference between literally killing yourself and saying, you know, I don't want to stay on life support. There's a difference
right.
there. And I'm all for that. You know, I've always said in my past that if I was, you know, on my deathbed and a machine was keeping me alive, that, you know, I want to let the course play out naturally the way that God intended it to. I think that this is, again, something where we need to submit to what the Bible says. And the Bible says, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not murder unless. So I think that's the difference there. Now the difference is that the Bible gives, is in times of war. The Bible does, permit, it wouldn't even call it murder at that point, but the Bible does permit that to happen in a time of war, and armies and the government to protect us in that mindset. But we as individuals aren't given that right to just take a life, even ours, if we feel like it's deserving or necessary.
Yeah. Hey, we got a comment on Facebook. The caller before actually moved from Texas to here for her grandmother, and so she is in New Mexico, so she wanted to say thank you for the information that she actually definitely needed. So,
well, Okay, Sandia Botanicals is one of the names of the places.
All right, thanks for the call. 505-338-3700, the phone number. We got to take a quick break, but more Shock Therapy Live on the way back. You can get your questions in facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Maybe not Facebook. It's not really.
Sweet.
Computer's
our
not computer, really working.
Computer's awesome. Or 505-338-3700. Quick break, right back with more Shock Therapy Live right here, Static Radio.
Coming to the Lobo Theater, Tuesday, February 12th, The Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
The Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
The Red Jumpsuit Apparatus with special guests spoken. Tuesday, February 12th at the Lobo Theater at 7 p.m. Tickets are only $15 in advance, $20 at the door. So get them now at mystaticradio.com.
Connect to a hotspot with Skip Heitzig.
Jesus Christ himself used Jonah as an example of his own resurrection. As Jonah, Jesus said, was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And guess what? Jesus really died and really rose, and he referred back to a real incident of a guy named Jonah. So if you believe the book of Jonah is just a lie, then you have to call Jesus Christ a liar. You cannot take Jesus Christ seriously unless you are willing to take a book seriously that he himself took seriously. So he quoted from it. I believe it's true.
Call 1-800-922-1888 for a free teaching by Skip Heitzig, or hear more when you visit skipheitzig.com/hotspots.
It's a night of praise through hip-hop music. Invite all your hip-hop friends to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in a non-threatening environment. Check out The Breakers, DJ Rooms, MCs, and speakers presenting the gospel at the next Noise event, January 18th at 7 p.m. at Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater. Brought to you by Crossfade Ministry and LifeQuest. Noise, skillfully taking Psalm 33:3 to the street. Details at calvaryabq.org.
Shock Therapy Live. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back. You're glued into Shock Therapy Live.
Yes.
Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig with you. The phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. We have one free line available. Yeah, so if it's busy, just keep trying. I love that the phone lines have been, like, solid this whole time.
Yeah, we haven't had a single dead spot.
Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hey, talking about the marijuana, there are other drugs out there that relieve pain that do not change your state of mind.
Like ibuprofen? I'm just kidding.
You know, whatever's prescription drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in high school, you know, I'll admit I smoked marijuana so much that it didn't even do anything for me. I was just doing it to be normal because I had built up such a high tolerance.
Yeah.
And when, you know, it is addictive.
Yeah. Which is, and on this topic as well, most of those high-powered painkillers are addictive. Percocet and Vicodin are also extremely addictive, which is why when doctors prescribe Percocet, Vicodin, or even marijuana, they prescribe it in very small doses over short periods of time because of the addictive factors in it and because of the mind-altering factors in it as well. So, again, when we're talking about drugs that are prescribed, we're talking about taking them in the prescribed medical way that they're given.
Yeah.
If you take marijuana in the prescribed medical way that it's given for cancer, it will be done in such a way the doctors prescribe it so that you won't build up a tolerance to it, so that you won't hopefully become extremely addicted to it. So it's given in purposes that it needs to be done. There's some situations where an ibuprofen just isn't going to cut it.
No, yeah.
You know? So you're going to need to take a higher caliber pain medication. Unfortunately, most of those pain medications are highly addictive.
Yeah, I had surgery a couple weeks ago and had a prescription for Percocet, and I left there going, I don't need it. They said I could take extra strength Tylenol or ibuprofen, and I'm so glad I filled the prescription because 2 hours later I'm like, nope!
But you are right. There are certain tolerances that it might not have the same effect that it does on one person as it does another. You know,
true
I said
story.
Before, I when I broke my leg, I was prescribed Percocet and Vicodin, to take one or the other every few hours. And it did not, it didn't really have the effect on me that it was, supposed to, even for taking the pain away. And so even when I was, in the hospital, they were trying the different pain medications, drip, morphine and other drugs, and they had to find the right one that, culled the pain. So, yeah. It truly is a medical, and a scientific process that the doctors use there. And, we submit to, again, to what they prescribe in that dosage that they prescribe it.
Thanks for the call, man.
Thanks.
All right. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. If you would like to send us an anonymous question, you can do so through email, studio@mystaticradio.com. Yeah, dude, on that, like I said, I had surgery a couple weeks ago, and I was prescribed Percocet. I'd never had Percocet before, but I have an addictive personality, and in high school, I definitely was a recreational drug user, you know, not a believer. Wow, yeah. And so because of that, I knew, all right, if I need this, I'll take it. And there were definite times where I was like, I need this, but it was also quote unquote, it numbed everything. I mean, dude, I was just laying in bed playing WoW, numb. Yeah. And so because of that, I was like, I'm going to try my hardest to stick to like the ibuprofen or like the Advil or something like that. And when I needed it, and I did, I would use it, but. It's still scary. That's prescription drugs, and it's still
again,
scary.
And again, when I broke my leg, that was the most extreme pain I've ever been in. And so I took it to cool the pain.
Yeah.
When the pain was gone, I wasn't like, man, I really want that drug because I wasn't taking it. Well, I wasn't taking it in the right frame of mind. It's like I was taking it where I didn't have any pain. It was just, you know, taking it for the effect. I was taking it truly to get rid of the pain. So when the pain was gone, I wasn't like, oh, man. That was so awesome with a broken leg taking that, taking that pain medication. You know, it didn't do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about, you know, express purposes for when it is, necessary, to do that.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, just chilling.
I had a question. I was just wondering, like, since I'm a Christian now. You know, sometimes, like, you know where it says in the Bible about Daniel where he went to a king or whatever and he was submitting and God told him to do all kinds of stuff and I guess the king at the end threw him and his two friends in the oven or whatever, right?
Yep. The furnace, well, yeah.
Not Daniel himself, but his bros.
His bros.
Yeah.
Rack, Shaq, and Benny.
So I was wondering, because at the end, the king, he was like, well, let's praise the God of that. The God of Daniel.
Yeah.
Who shows mysteries and signs, right?
Right.
I was wondering, because sometimes, you know, things happen and I feel like God talks to me, like shows me through signs. But when I try to, you know, ask some advice for other people, like Christians, pastors, they're like, what? You know, they believe that God can talk through signs or whatever, but they don't like they couldn't explain it, like, what's, how to, you know, say if God tells me something or shows me something, to whether or not determine whether if it's God or if it's a test that God's trying to show me, trying to, so that I can communicate with him. What I'm trying to say is, what would you guys recommend according to what the Bible says in order about how to determine whether if it's of God or not?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So here's what I would say on that. The Bible gives very clear specifications of what the spiritual gifts are, the gifts of the Spirit, and also what prophecy is. And you're right in that line about prophecy, you know, which is again when God spoke specifically to the prophets of old to reveal signs to Israel, and also when God uses spiritual gifts in order to edify the body. You know, when God gives people signs or when God gives people visions, the purpose of those signs and visions are all ways to edify the body of Christ. Yeah. Every single time in the Bible when God reveals himself specifically to someone, it's to edify the body or to help believers. When God does it to Moses, it's to help the children of Israel. When God does it to Paul, it's visions of where to go to help other believers. When God does it through the prophets, it's in order to help Israel and to bring spiritual insight to Israel. So every time it's done, it's for a specific purpose. It's not just ever God like talking to somebody and being like, hey bro, how you doing? hey, so I want to tell you something super cool. Don't tell anybody. It's a secret. You know, it's never in that fashion. It's always for a specific purpose. So what you always want to do is you always want to, number one, if you feel that God's speaking to you specifically or showing you signs or visions, number one, you want to test with what the Bible says.
Absolutely.
And you want to look at, what does the Bible say? If it contradicts what the Bible says, it is not God. It is either A, the devil, or it is B, schizophrenia. One of the two. It's not
God.
True
story. I mean, that's a main point you have to drive home. The Holy Spirit will never contradict.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so,
because we're talking about God's general revelation and God's specific revelation. God's specific revelation will never supersede his general revelation.
I've heard people say, but you don't understand, man. God told me that I'm supposed to leave my family and go and build this thing off in another state somewhere. And the response is always, God would never tell you that because...
Yeah.
That goes against God's word. Do not leave your family.
So that's the first thing you want to look at. You want to look at, how does it line up to the Bible? And the second thing you want to look at, is how is this something that is going to edify other believers? Again, every time that God spoke to someone or revealed something to someone in the Bible, it was always to edify other believers and to build up the church.
Yeah.
And so we want to look at, how is this meant to edify other believers? If it's not meant to edify other believers, then it's not God talking to me. It's something else. So you want to look at, how does it line up with what the Bible says? And then, how is this meant to edify other believers? You know, I was talking to a guy one time. He came to my office and he said that God was talking to him by letting him hear everyone else's thoughts around him. And that he could hear people's thoughts from states away.
That did not happen.
No, literally. He said that God had given him this power. And I said, well, how is that meant to edify anybody? And he said, it's not. It's just meant for me to have the knowledge so that I know. And I said, that's not biblical.
Right.
That's not how God works. That's not how the gifts of the
X-Men
Spirit
movies.
Works. And so we want to line it up with what the Bible says. And then the second question, how does this edify people or edify the believers around me?
Does that help you out?
So yeah, so in other words, it's more like, if you know God, you're pretty much going to know whether if it's of him or not, right?
No.
If you read the Bible.
Yes, if you read the Bible. Because
absolutely.
If you read the Bible, you get to know more of God, right?
Yes,
you get to
exactly.
know him more better.
Exactly.
And if you pray, you get to know him better.
Mm.
And so when these things happen, you're going to be like, well, I know that's of God because it says in the Bible here somewhere.
Yes.
You know,
It's the key is the Bible. The key isn't just knowing God better. Because again, I've talked to people that said, man, I'm so close to God. God spoke this to me. And so he told me that it's okay. But again, it doesn't matter so you always want to line up with the Bible. If it's in line with what the Bible says, then there's a good chance that it's God. If it's not in line with what the Bible says, then it's not. Now here's another thing. If you ever hear God say something and you say, oh, God told this to me, but it's not in line with the Bible, then you need to be very careful, because every single prophet of the Bible, when they got spoken to by God, it lined up verbatim with what the Bible said. And also, not only that, but it always came true. It always came to pass. Yeah. God never spoke something to someone and it's like the prophet Daniel was right 99% of the time. No, if a prophet was wrong 1% of the time, that person was a false prophet.
Yeah.
So a prophet is spoken to by God and has the truth 100% of the time. So if you're like, man, so God talks to me and 50% of the time it's true, and 50% of the time it isn't, well, then you need to be really careful, because we also know that the devil is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and the devil wants to bring truth, part truth sometimes, so that we can, you know, think about this. The devil's not going to come and be like, hey, go kill everyone right away,
right.
Because we know that was the devil.
Right.
But
right.
if the devil comes and gives you partial truth and says, oh, hey, go talk to that person about Jesus. Oh, hey, you know, do this. And he gives us partial truth. Then he can slowly infiltrate the lies. That's why we have to really have our walls built up, be submissive to the Holy Spirit, and be in line with God's will and with what the Bible says, so that we can be testing everything that we are hearing and receiving in line with what the Word of God says.
Does that help you out?
Yeah, I was going to say another thing. You know how, you know how God shows visions and all that stuff? Would that be totally different from discerning? Like you're in a store or whatever, and for some reason you feel like this person's going through something, or, you know, whatever it may be. Is that similar to what that is?
That's
having signs and visions and
That's just discernment. God truly does that. That is a gift of the Spirit, though. The Bible says that. And that is discernment, where you can feel that, man, I don't know why, but God wants me to talk to this person. That's not necessarily a vision or a sign. That truly is the gift of discernment, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's something that's very real in the Bible. And when you feel that, when God gives you that, feeling like, man, this person's going through something, I just gotta talk to him. Just do it. And be submissive to what the Spirit's calling you to do there.
There you go, man. Hey, I would recommend 1 Thessalonians 5. That's where this all basically stems from. 1 Thessalonians 5. I like to give addresses so people have the scriptures to check out later. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil. And that's talking specifically about those times, testing those things. If you hear a word, if you see something, if somebody else tells you something, you test those things against God's word. You take it back to scripture. You study up and don't just say, I remember a couple years ago, I think I heard something in Bible study one time about that, so that must line up. No. Take it back to the word of God and test it. Test it against God's word.
So okay. In other words, that Gideon?
there you go, man.
Yeah, man. So,
all right.
So I hope that helps you out, buddy.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Shock Therapy Live, you know, we have a couple minutes left.
I like that you give addresses. Just don't give out my address.
I won't. I'll try not to.
Dude.
Sorry. I just like biblical addresses. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, man, somewhere in Isaiah, there's this dude. And then you're like, where do I find that?
Now, pastors are so guilty of this. I'm guilty of this so often because I'll prepare my message and I'll have, you know, the specific verses that I want to share. And then randomly, I'll just remember that verse, but I can't remember what time. I'm like,
yeah.
The Bible says. And it's just, and then someone says, hey, what verse was that? I'm like, hold on. My iPhone helps me out and gives me the inspiration of the Word of God.
That's okay, man. Oh, that's awesome.
Dude, Siri is filled with the Holy Spirit. She gives me the verses that I need.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. We got about 3 minutes left if you'd like to get your phone call in. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Is this Static Radio?
This is.
You're on live.
Okay. I have a question. It's about the gun control thing.
Yeah.
Because Constitution is the supreme law of the land, so biblically, like, I'm not religious at all.
Hey, and, is this the same comment from Facebook?
Yes, it is.
Oh, cool. I was just reading this.
Oh, fantastic. So I was just curious as to, like, which law do you follow if you have two that are against each other, one being a supreme law of the land, and then another one being a new law that they passed. Like, which one do you follow?
Right.
Yeah, I think that you follow the new law of the land, and again, I think back to biblical times. Again, we talk about Daniel, that Daniel had the written law of God. You know, he had this guy had the written express law that God had written in the Ten Commandments, and he had the law of the Israeli kings and of the law that God had formed in the nation of Israel. Israel got taken under control by Babylon, and so at that point, he submitted to the Babylonian law up until the point that it caused him to supersede God's law. And so, again, we follow whatever the Bible says, that we are to submit to the authorities over us,
right?
Not to the written law over us, but to the authorities over us. So we need to submit to the authorities that God has placed in our lives. And again, at this point in our nation's history, those authorities are the Congress, the Senate, and the President that God has put into our place. And so we're supposed to pray for our leaders and pray for our authorities and submit to those authorities that are over us. It doesn't say submit to the written law over us. It says submit to the authorities over us.
Yeah, because what you got to think about, going all the way back to Daniel, this was this amazing man of God. He is hanging out. Hey, my bros, we're all friends. And then this king comes. It's not like they voted and Nebuchadnezzar won the popular vote, so he's the new king. They came and like destroyed and killed and took, and here's this guy against his will who's, you know, now under Babylonian law, and he still followed the law of the land. He followed that. Which is outstanding to me to think about. This guy under this rule of this king who just destroyed everything he knew.
Yeah. Now then, I do still think of Paul, though, and on this topic of written law,
yeah.
We can still appeal to the written law, and we as Christians don't just have to say, oh, well, we just, don't care about what the written law is then, because whatever. You know, Paul still appealed to the written law of the Roman time period, but at the same time, he still submitted to the authorities that were over him. And I think of when Paul was brought before a court, and he said that he appealed to Caesar. He took his rights as a Roman citizen, yeah. and he appealed to the written law and said, I want to go before Caesar. I appeal to Caesar. I want to go to Rome.
Yeah, like right now in Santa Fe, the legislature's going on, and they're going up there, and they're saying, hey,
yeah.
this is going on, right? My wife's actively involved.
As Christians, by all means, can stand before and say, look, the constitutional rights say this. We need to change this, and we can fight for that constitutional rights that we have. But once the decision gets made and passed down, at that point, we are to be submissive, and we are to follow the authorities of those who are over us.
Does that help you out?
So you're basically saying, like, we would follow the laws, like, give up our guns or whatever, and then we would go back and, like, we could appeal to the written law.
Yeah, we can still appeal. Yeah.
Yeah, you can still appeal. You can still, I mean, again, we can still fight for what we believe is right.
As long as it's friendly. A dear friend, Clay Schroff, on the show last week said, don't carry a sign that God would beat you with, because I'm tired of these signs where you're at a protest and it's just filthy and stupid and disgusting and God has no part in it. And I think sometimes we get angry and say awful things.
Yeah.
yes, as in a civil manner, we can still appeal to the governing authorities.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. Okay. I got really confused on that whole subject just because I don't have the religious connection. And so, I mean, I come from a slightly religious family, but we're free to do what we wanted to do as of a certain age. And this was just my choice.
All right.
And so I was just
I have to cut you off. Hold on. Hang on the line with us, okay?
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.